and welcome to my hearth.
I don't know at what point I became absolutely obsessed with music. Sound is such a basic instinct for all people. There are many sounds which delight us, and certainly many sounds which annoy us. For me, anyone singing slightly off key, and I mean slightly off key, completely annoys me and gets me in a real state. Call me a grumpy old curmudgeon, but I find the modern tendency of wobbling around a tune really annoying. Now, when we are little, the combination of words and music, especially in things like nursery rhymes, was for me a continuous delight. Both my parents were very musical, and both could hold a tune and sing rather nicely. My father could tinkle away at the piano, as I've told you before, and my mum had learnt many tunes from her home in the north. My maternal grandma, Grandma Margie, was incredibly musical and would often sing around the house when she was doing things, and I joined in with her. She would then harmonise, which is a great delight. When I was little, we were still all very obsessed with the radio more than the television, and one of the great delights was on Saturday morning listening to children's favourites. Anyone who is my age will have their own 1950s playlist. I don't know that there would be very many people now where in a family a children sat round the radio on a Saturday morning listening to and joining in with the songs that were being played to them. Repetition was one of the things that got us going. The runaway train ran over the hill and she blew will immediately spark memories in people of my generation. For us, our pop stars were people like Burl Ives, who sang the Big Rock Candy Mountain, and Nelly the Elephant Packed Her Trunk. If you start to sing that in the company of people of your generation, they will join in with you. Now, lots of members of my family were also into classical music, and we used to listen to Eric Robinson on a Sunday morning with Melodies for You. We also enjoyed a pianist called Semprini, who had the catchphrase, old ones, new ones, half-remembered ones. And I really got into all of this classical music stuff. Now, for my third birthday, and that is quite young, isn't it? I wanted a record player that would play some of the classical music that I really loved. Now, bearing in mind that at that time, my sister was going on 8 and also liked music, it was decided to buy us a record player, as it were, as a joint present. My parents bought me the red and white Dansett record player and also a classical music record to play on it. This was called Russian Fireworks and was extracts of very big, loud, noisy orchestral music, including the 1812 overture. I was so excited, I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and put on the 1812 overture very loudly, and my father literally jumped out of bed because he thought he was back in the war. Since then, I've always had a huge collection of records or CDs, whatever it was that I could play the music that I liked. Not only that, but I really wanted to get piano lessons. I don't know whether I had been inspired by Mr. Semprini or other people who played the piano. I wasn't really aware of Liberace, but I do remember people like Winifred Atwell and Mrs. Mills and Russ Conway. In our village, there was a lady who taught the piano, who revelled in the name of Miss Ronchetti. My mum had a conversation with her, and the lady thought that I was too young to start learning the piano. However, I think I was very persistent in continuing to ask, and in the end they decided to give me at least a trial. I took to it like a duck to water and really enjoyed it. In fact, I think I learnt to read music before I learnt to read words. I'm not certain about that, because obviously to read music I would have had to read some of the specific markings on the music. Anyway, I loved it, and I started on that journey of being taught things and then going in for examinations. And I have to say, for the most part, everything went swimmingly, and I only really started to have difficulty at grade 8. And part of that was dealing with complicated scales, and also the amount of time I needed to practice to go into grade 8 whilst I was still doing my A-levels. It all sorted itself out because it was decided that I would do my A-levels first and then my grade 8s second. The other element that kicked in was that for me, singing became more important than piano playing, but that's for another podcast. So back to Miss Ronchetti, who was a delightful lady, incredibly gentle and very delightful in the way that she dealt with someone who I should imagine, like me, was rather difficult. I followed her instruction to the letter and I did my practice diligently every day. However, I wanted to run before I could walk, and I did occasionally turn over the pages of the instruction manual and try things a bit further on. Miss Ronchetti was incredibly patient with me and explained that I had to achieve what I was doing because that was the way the manual was worked out. And after a little tussle, I agreed with her and was very diligent in keeping on the page. You have a relationship with the instrument that you are playing, and I can understand that really strongly from the point of view of my piano. I don't know where my parents got my piano from, but there was a piano shop in Westcliff-on-Sea, and I know that to be the case because occasionally I would go in there with them and try out new instruments. I'm not certain that that's where we bought the piano, but whatever it was, I certainly had it before I went to primary school, and I kept it with me for 50 years. Moving it around all the homes that we lived in, and I really liked my piano. It was very upsetting when I had to get rid of it. It was like saying goodbye to an old friend, but it went to a very good home. Nowadays you can pick up a second-hand old-fashioned piano, you know, a proper piano, for very little money. But in those days it was quite a big luxury item. I think my parents must have decided that it was worth the investment, although I did know that it was second-hand. I'm not certain where it is now, but I wish it well. I know when I went to take my first exam, I found it very odd because that was the first time that I'd played on a piano that was not my own. It just felt completely different. However, I managed. Wherever I am, I can't help but try out a piano if there's one in the vicinity. I haven't as yet, played the piano at the railway stations like you see people do on the television and on YouTube. It's strange that I don't have a piano anymore, and I have considered occasionally buying a keyboard, but I have to fulfil my need by occasionally having a tinkle of the ivories at somebody else's house. I also think that it's an important lesson to realise that there are people who do the same thing as you, but are much better. Now, I learnt that when I went to boarding school, and there were several keyboard players there who were very, very talented, going on to be organ scholars at some of the Oxbridge colleges. However, I have been good enough to earn some money from it and to get great enjoyment from it. I don't know at what point I stopped being taught by Miss Ronchetti, and I certainly can't remember why. Even when I started learning from her, she was a very old lady. Like several other things from the age of 3 to 5, I just can't remember in detail what happened. However, it involved me changing my teacher, and there wasn't another one in our little village. So I had to catch the bus to the nearest town, which was a little way away. I think I was about 6 when this happened. Remember, this is a very different world, and the idea of a little boy getting on the bus with his music and going to his piano lesson, having the lesson, and then coming back and catching the bus to get home wasn't unusual. Even in the middle of winter when it was dark, well, they solved the problem. I had a little torch. The last bit of my journey home, there was no street lighting, so you needed one. Remember, my parents had lived through the war, and it was nothing unusual for them to be wandering around in the dark with a torch. I stayed with this particular lady until I went to boarding school at 11. Now, when I was in Cumberland, we didn't have a piano, but one of my uncles did, and I used to go and practice on his piano, and he really liked me doing that. My cousin at the time was also having lessons, so she had music and I had fingers, and off we went. Now, the only problem about learning to play the piano when I was so young is that I really came to rely on the dots, and I've never been particularly good at learning music. I'm very good at sight reading, because that was my process. Now, music will be a theme that I come back to again and again in these podcasts, but I will finish this particular episode about music in the village with one of the strange events that used to happen, in that we used to go to little concerts where someone would talk about music and play extracts on records, a kind of musical lecture. And for me, that was one of the first ways that I learnt about all sorts of different composers. More about some of the other characters in the village next time.